Welcome to the One Speed MMA podcast.
What's up?
Hey, first off, apologies we missed a week.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff happens during the summer, vacations and moving and all kinds of weird things.
Yeah, we got holidays for our specific state that we live in. That
Pioneer Day.
That makes other trips
difficult.
Available. Because we got days off, right?
Yes, it does. So once again, thank you for joining us on our week back on. We have a ton to talk about, a ridiculous amount. First off, I'd like to get into the fact that went on a local radio show and they find the next DJ, I guess not DJ, but the correspondent contest.
Mm-hmm.
And just blew it.
No, I don't know about that.
I can talk MMA, but man, when I get into like the Big 12 and I call it the Big 10, that's a major issue.
Meh.
For you Irish fans, we're talking college football. And apparently I don't know much about it, so I'm going to stick to MMA and talking to people that I know, because apparently I get pretty nervous when you throw me on with a bunch of radio personalities.
It's been the Big Ten for most of your life, and you still know it's the 12. You could probably name the 12 teams, though, right? Like, if it got brought up.
I could name Texas Tech.
USC.
No, USC's Pac-12.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, you could name the 12.
In the Pac-12, yeah.
Not yeah, the Big that's 12, what I'm saying. Like, you made a mistake, a slip of the tongue. But if you were to ask you about them, you could name the 12.
Yeah.
You know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I just thought it was pretty funny. I figured I'd share that with the fan out there.
You, fan.
Frank.
And the
by Frank, I mean Fred. Fred Ireland. We got you. Lots to talk about. Do you want to get into this card? Do you want to talk women's MMA?
Just talk women's and what?
Shevchenko, because we missed that week, and kind of work from there. So what I'd like to get into first, because we'll get into that card. Obviously, everyone now knows that Shevchenko beat Holm, but there's been a lot of backlash against Holm saying that she's not as good, that she was kind of a one-trick pony, and all of these things negatively towards her after losing two in a row. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are this. One, that division is now interesting, and the Ronda effect did happen. Like, the whole point of like getting Ronda in there, what she did for women's MMA was gave it more exposure. I was maybe in the minority. I didn't think that she was going to do it forever. There's murderers coming up. I mean, the only one that really competed was Miesha Tate, and she always came up short against Ronda. But now we can see with Ronda out of the picture how good Miesha is. And I still don't think if Ronda goes and fights Holly, Miesha, Amanda Nunes, or Nunes, and then Shevchenko, I don't think she beats all of them.
No. I don't think Miesha Tate beats Shevchenko. And part of the reason is Nunes beat Shevchenko, but Shevchenko won half of that fight. Nunes looked more dominant in the first round and half of the second one. And Shevchenko, after that, after she figured out that she couldn't take her down and Nunes got tired, Nunes had done enough at the beginning of the fight to win the rest of the fight. But Shevchenko is no slouch. She was, for those that aren't big UFC people out there, Shevchenko was brought in to get one or two fights under her belt and then get a title fight. She was brought in. She was immediately put against Amanda Nunes.
One of my least favorite tattoos in MMA, though.
Oh, the gun with the...
I hate that. It's the most awkwardly placed, like, shitty gun.
Yeah, but she's basically the Holly Holm of kickboxing and Muay Thai.
Mm-hmm.
Where Holly Holm had every belt that you could get in women's boxing. She was the best there was. And then she decided to transition over. So, we knew this was going to be a striker versus striker match.
Well,
and I figured because of the kicks that Shevchenko would have a better chance of winning than Holm would.
And also, I mean, Holly wasn't far off winning both of those matches. Like, so, like, people saying she's a one-trick pony. Well, she almost knocked out Shevchenko, and she was...
By Chael Sonnen's logic, she won the first fight with Miesha.
Chael Sonnen post Anderson, because Chael doesn't really believe that.
No, he doesn't.
And then she was one submission, and I think she could have stopped that attempt. She was tired in the fight, and she made a bad mistake. Because if you watch most of the fight with Shevchenko, she had no problem with getting right back up when Shevchenko took her down.
Except that third round where she would stay on her back the entire time.
And that's a round that she definitely lost, right? Like that. But, I mean, most of the time she was getting up pretty easily.
So I watched this fight after the fact. I actually watched it about 5 minutes ago, about an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I read online, I was thinking that Shevchenko won that fight 4-1. And I would give her 3-2 because I don't think Holly Holm did as bad as everyone. I mean, the internet blew up on Holly Holm and was like, oh, this, that. She lost it all of these rounds. Shevchenko won. It wasn't even close. And it was a lot closer than I think anyone that I saw was giving credit to.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you have a lot of those people. I actually picked that card, and I picked that card. I only missed two fights on that entire card, and one of them was Holly Holm because I have a hard time going against the champion, just like picking Robbie Lawler. You know,
she wasn't the champ, though.
But, I mean, but she had been a champ, and she, more or less had beat Miesha Tate. Obviously, you get into it. She didn't.
That's going to be really,
belt,
and by that logic, that division's going to be really hard to decide from here going forward, because everybody's been a champ. No 135 women's champions except for Ronda for the last... What was the statistic? It was something like for the last 10 years, every 135, the highest rank profile belt at 135, had either Miesha Tate or Ronda Rousey in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that way anymore.
No, and we're glad that it's not. It was really interesting, actually. There was a person that did a greater than less than, and what they actually ran through, and it was like. It ran through Amanda Nunes was beat by Kat Zingano. Kat Zingano was beat by Ronda Rousey and, you know, Juliana Pena now. And it basically was saying, like, that division has cannibalized itself because Shevchenko beat Holm, Miesha Tate beat Holm, Rousey beat Tate, Zingano beat Tate, Pena beat Zingano. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy where
it's
it
great.
Is right now. Yeah, no. Well, for fans like us, there's not anyone in that division outside of Ronda Rousey and Holly Holm that are going to sell a title fight. No one's going to tune in for an Amanda Nunes, Shevchenko title fight.
I don't know. They gave her the platform. They gave him the platform at 200 to at least get exposure for it. Maybe people aren't that excited by it, but I think Miesha's a big enough name. I think Miesha's up there.
But she's not going to get the next shot.
No, she's not. But, I mean, she was a big enough name that people knew what was going on and they saw what Amanda did to her. I don't think it's as bad as people are making it out to be.
Right now, there is not a champion that sells a pay-per-view. Robbie Lawler was the last one. Connor, but Connor's not fighting at his championship weight. And I'd like to get into this a little bit later in more in depth about that money fights versus title fights and different things. And
I think
what's better for the sport.
I think it's actually very freeing for the UFC to not have to worry. We'll talk.
Yeah. So let's get back into that.
How'd you feel about the overall card, though, for the Holm versus Shevchenko?
From what I saw, the main card, I saw a couple of the undercard, which I wasn't that impressed with.
Ganu?
No, but we're talking like
under. But how'd you feel about it? How do you feel about it?
Ganu. This is a little Spanish joke for all you guys out there. No, he looked really good. I feel like he was, I mean, obviously they didn't give him a tin can because the guy had won 3 in a row or whatever it was.
No, he'd lost his first 3 and then he hasn't lost since, but that was still his first fight in the UFC, if I remember right.
I feel like he was given a tin can. I feel like he needs to step up. I mean, just like Derek Lewis, they finally said, okay, we believe in him enough to give him, you know, a Roy Nelson. And I think Ganu needs a better opponent. I thought the Edson Barbosa-Gilbert Melendez fight was absolutely awesome. Edson Barbosa is now becoming the fighter that everyone expected him to be, you know, where he was touted as the next Anderson Silva, that he was going to come in and run the division and he was going to win the title and hold it for a long period of time, just like Jose Aldo, Henan Barao, Anderson Silva. His name was in that same list. And then he would go back and forth. He'd win one, lose one, win one, lose one. And now I think he's finally got 2 or 3 in a row that he's rattled off.
He is primed to be the next Brazilian fighter at this point. And he won't make a run if he does get it. I don't even know if he'll get it, but he won't make a run in that division. So,
I mean, I understand the Black House is here in the United States and Jose Aldo and Anderson Silva, Leona Machida, all those guys kind of trained there for a period of time. A lot of them now are back at Nova Now and Nogueira and different things like, or with the Nogueira brothers. But Amanda Nunes is at ATT. Or AKA, I can't remember. Sorry, guys. But she's in one of those. So she's training in the States with wrestlers. Edson Barbosa's in New Jersey with Frankie Edgar. And it's interesting that those Brazilian fighters that seem to be training with U.S. wrestlers seem to be continuing to advance more quickly than a lot of the Brazilians that are staying and training down in Brazil.
Also not pinging.
And also not peeing hot, yeah.
Weird.
Now that we're saying the entire country of Brazil is cheating, but we are. So
they got belts, though. They did get belts back. They got a paper one, and then what was the other one?
The women's.
Amanda they got Nunes. Amanda Nunes for the women's, which is that sounds like a slight putting it up against the paper champ of Jose Aldo, but it's not. I think she's very great.
She crushed Miesha Tate, and she deserved every part of it. But yeah, no, so I really like those couple of fights.
I wish my girlfriend would have won it, though.
Claudia?
Mm-hmm.
She, yeah, man, she's a top chick. But Shevchenko, so her last loss was to Nunes. Do you immediately give her a title shot, or do you make her fight somebody else?
You can do anything in that division right now. You can do anything.
I guess you can. She didn't take a lot of damage. I mean, I think you give her the title shot immediately.
Who else could you do? And I mean, if Ronda comes back, Ronda's getting. I don't think they should. I think they should make Ronda fight Miesha for three again, or Holly to get it back. There's so many things you can do if Ronda comes back.
No, because if Ronda comes back and immediately wins the belt, that's the best possible thing for the UFC.
I understand what they would do, but I think it's more interesting to make her have to fight her way back a little bit. Because right now, like you said, title fights aren't what's selling. No. It's the history that's selling fights, or the hype that they can build. So if you're putting her up against Holly or Miesha, and then once you get those two out of the way, or one of them out of the way, you can start throwing other competition at her. You can throw Amanda at her. You can throw Shevchenko. I think that's more interesting, but that's not what's going to happen. I know.
If I were Miesha Tate, I'd want that fight, and I'd retire. Me and the retirement talk.
Yeah, you always are telling people to retire.
If I were Miesha Tate, I would take the $5 million, $7 million, whatever you're going to make with your third fight with Ronda Rousey, and I would.
She doesn't get knocked out. Like, she barely takes. I mean, she does take damage because that's what she's known for. But like, for the most part, she's a wrestler. She takes people down. Keep making money.
She's in the top five. However, it seems like
she's in the top three.
Well, Shevchenko now. Well, I guess Rousey, Shevchenko, Holm, Tate.
Ronda's Nunes. Not ranked anymore.
Did they actually take her out?
No, but she shouldn't be. Like, how can you? Like, she hasn't been active. We don't.
Zingano, as much as I love her as well, I think she's on the tail end of her career. Miesha Tate has been around so long that we don't want her to turn into like a freaking Miyako Krokop or a freaking Big Nog where
what?
She does so well and then all of a sudden just starts losing to everybody.
She may or may not do that, though.
I doubt it. Like I said, women's
division
MMA
still, yeah, it's
is
not
advancing as fast as men's MMA is. Where all of a sudden, one day you're the top of the division. And
I think we talked about
this
before. It's advancing quicker.
Yeah.
The only difference is it's got a lot of ground to make up. Mm. But we were saying Ronda's going to go undefeated. Ronda's going to run through anybody they put in front of her. And all of a sudden we get Ronda knocked out. And we've had four champions since. Holly, Miesha. No, three. We've had three since. And Shevchenko's primed to make another, like... And then there could be somebody else that's coming up that we just don't know about yet.
Juliana Pena.
I don't think she's coming up. I don't think she's
the current Invicta champion. That card looked pretty well, and she looked really, really good. She's a marketable fighter. People really seem to like her that really watch Invicta and those type of things. I can't even remember her name off the top of my head. I know she had a great showing this weekend in the Invicta card. And then, of course, with how they're doing things with bringing in the top champions for the Tough 24.
I like that. I didn't know that's what they were doing. I think it's going to be pretty fun.
So we'll talk on this real quick. So just transitioning over, one of the things that they could do is take the women's organizations and the people with the belts and have them, you know, kind of do a tournament and fight off for either a 125 belt, because I think they need a 125 division for the women, or the 135 belt. But Tough 24.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just because I said this before. But the last Tough winner, I think that she could actually possibly beat Joanna.
I think Tough still works for women, not for ratings, but for to find actual challengers. Whereas any guy that fights in the Tough house is going to be 5 years away from, you know, actual challenging for the belt.
Depending. If they do it here in the States, but the ones in Mexico, Yair Rodriguez, I think will get a title shot if he keeps his route before 5 years.
International, yeah.
Yeah, like the Brazil ones.
But then they did China and all those guys were awful.
Yeah, it's Asian.
There's Which is so weird because martial arts, they were so far ahead, and then actual mixed martial arts, they're so far behind. I just don't, that's something that I don't understand. Like, I can't fathom that how martial arts are so, it's such a part of their culture, how pride was such a big deal, how all of those people are so into martial arts, yet they're so far behind when it comes to actually competing on a high level like the UFC.
I think it's a matter of hunger. And I mean,
I don't know, billions of people.
China's different, though. Like, I don't know exactly how that works, but I'm thinking more just like Japan and Korea.
I mean, the last Filipino fighter that was any good was Nam Phan, and he got cut from the UFC pretty quick. Mark Munoz. Koreans, you've got
Filipino, right?
Yeah.
You've
got Don Young Kim. You've got the Korean Zombie. What's his face? Don Choi, the guy that fought in two cards ago.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad because I'm not sure which part of Asia he's from. I think he's Japanese, but he's a stud. But he's one of the only one that's actually, like, I feel
they
like...
They do great on the undercard, but that once you get up, it's done. Like, Brazilians are hungrier.
Mexicans are definitely starting to get
yeah.
a lot more hungry. And like we talked about, and we'll talk about this with the Salt Lake card, all of those high-level Mexican fighters are all training together. Perez, Rodriguez, they're all winning. So it's an exciting time for Mexican MMA. I mean, South American MMA, yes, you've got Diego Rivas, who's doing pretty well, from Chile, different things like
Ponzinibbio.
That. Ponzinibbio. Yeah. But at least you have some names. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you were to go back a decade ago, you're looking at like Pedro Rizzo and like people that aren't necessarily like Cain Velasquez, who's second generation, but he's not like straight out of Mexico.
No. He tries to claim it, but he's probably more American than I am. I've probably spent more time in Mexico than he has.
So Tough 24, let's get into this real quick. So Tough 24 is going to be Henry Cejudo and Joseph Benavidez. But they're going to fight, but whoever wins that fight is not going to get the shot at Demetrius Johnson. Wilson Hayes, who just fought on the undercard of this last Robbie Lawler, Tyron Woodley card, he actually won pretty handedly, and he was supposed to fight DJ on that card. DJ pulled out due to injury, which I think is the first time he ever has. And he thinks he still deserves a title shot. He was a shooto box, I believe, champion, or like jungle fights or something like that. Like he's pretty good. He's done decent in the UFC. However, Tough 24, Henry Cejudo, Joseph Benavidez are the coaches. They will fight at the end, but they have not been promised a title fight. However, the Tough 24 contestants for the first time are actually going to be champions in different organizations. And by that, I mean RFA, which is like, I can't even remember, Revolutionary Fight Association or Resurrection or some crap like that. Legacy, King of the Cage. So basically all of these local promotions or these traveling promotions, they all have champions at this size, 125. And whoever wins, because they are all technically champions, will get a shot at DJ, at Demetrius Johnson at 125.
I like that.
I think it's a cool idea. I'm guessing that they're going to be paying the fighters because all of them are champions within their own division. Just like with the women that came in from Invicta.
They should be paying all of them, though, still. They should still be getting like a certain amount.
They get win bonuses. But
they should be getting money per episode.
They
probably don't get banked.
I could be wrong, but the only ones I knew that were ever actually paid to be there were the Invicta fighters.
I feel like, I mean, I have no idea. What I know of reality TV and how they get paid by episode. I'm not saying they're getting rich off of it.
I think they get
$1,000
to $2,500 for a knockout or a submission. And
that's what they're advertising, but I'm pretty sure, like, you can't just tell somebody, hey, will you give up your life?
For a dream, you get a place to stay, you get all the food you can eat.
If you're wanting
training
to get
with the best,
if you're wanting somebody that can challenge for a title, somebody that you build up and market, you're trying to get everybody that you possibly can. They've got to be giving them something.
But look at looking for a fight. They get direct shots at the UFC, and most of those guys have lost. Whereas in the Tough House, they would probably get to the finals, but they probably wouldn't win in a tough tournament either.
Right. I'm just saying, like,
what do you think the point, other than Tough 24, which actually has a point, which I like, what do you think that the point of Tough is now? Because the ratings are low.
It's to build.
The talent that's coming in isn't super great.
it's to put somebody on an undercard that sells a little bit more than your average fighter that's coming up. You build up a face a little bit. Like, I'm going to watch, I can't remember her name right now, which is going against my point, but like, I will watch her next fight. I think that she has the tools to beat Joanna. If I was to bet on it, I'd still bet on Joanna, right?
It's hard to bet against the champion.
And she doesn't have amazing stand-up, but she's got good enough wrestling. She can take down anybody in that division. She could take down Carla Esparza, and she could ground and pound. She's high level. And I know her face. I can't think of her name right now. I apologize. But I that's what you do. Like, the next card that she's going to be on is going to be an undercard, and that's how you make a little bit more views.
Probably in her hometown or within.
You pay her just the same as anybody else that's up and coming, but you get a few more views because she's established on TV.
Speaking of pay.
That's what it is. Go ahead.
Do you see that most of the people on the Shevchenko Holly Holm card only made the minimum $2,500 from Reebok?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, the sponsorship fees. This one with the Robbie Lawler, Tyron Woodley fight, because Ellenberger's been in forever, Lawler's been in forever, Brown's been in forever, they had some of the 20,000 plus.
Mm-hmm.
But the Shevchenko home card, because they were all newer, most of them only made the $2,500 sponsor bonus.
New owners, do away with Reebok ASAP.
I mean, they're contracted in for what, another 2 years? Something like that.
Well, at that time,
they need to get rid of them.
Yeah.
They need to get Under Armour or someone.
Not Under Armour. Ugh.
That's better than Reebok.
No.
How do you figure? What's your deal with Under Armour?
It's shitty gear. It looks awful.
Yeah.
Look at all the Utes shit. It looks awful.
Yeah, but they pay them a lot of money.
Right.
And that's the difference. They're actually paying. Where Reebok or gives Anderson Aldo and
Reebok pays people, the right people. That doesn't just because it's Under Armour doesn't mean that they're going to necessarily pay the UFC ton of money. Like, they still value the UFC that essentially Reebok would value. They do have more capital. That is true, but they're not gonna pay double or anything like that. It's gonna have a little bit more marketability. So the next people that come in, it is gonna be worth more. But it's UFC. It's not even competing with LeBron or, you know.
So what do you think that they're, I agree with you. Going back to Tough 24 real quick, what do you think they're giving to DJ in order to make it worth it? Because he seems pretty irritated that they were going to just give a title shot to some random tough winner.
I don't think they're going to give him anything. Like, what the hell else do you want us to do, DJ?
But, I mean, you think they're going to put him on the TV show a lot or have him come in? Like, they already have an ad for it where he walks to the top of a mountain, and then they're like, Tough 24. And it doesn't even show Cejudo and Benavidez. It just shows DJ.
Do you mean what are they doing for him, or how are they going to incorporate him into the show?
No, I mean, what are they doing? Like, you think they're paying him more, or do you think they're like...
No.
They're just telling him this is how it is, and then when he throws fits, they just have to figure it out.
He's not going
to
throw a fit. Like, he might be bugged.
He came out and said he thought it was a terrible idea, and that's when they pulled it.
He's very vocal person. For a little bit. He's a very vocal person. Like, he's going to talk. Like, if he thinks something's stupid, he's going to say it. But at the same time, he'll fight whoever he needs to fight. What does it matter to him?
It'll be top talent.
It's like, who do you want us to put you against, DJ? Make up a fighter. Everything that we've thrown at you, you've never lost a round.
They probably said it's either this or Dominic, so pick one.
I don't think they could say that.
Well, I'm being facetious.
No, you don't do that. This is the first time ever. No, I'm just kidding.
The difficult part about Tough, just one quick point. When Jordan went into the Tough House, he was technically a champion here on the local circuit. Still fist. I mean, not as big of a deal. I think that there's a lot more champions that are already going in to the Tough House, and being a champion in their local organization is what gets them in.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see there being – I understand the point of being like they're all champions, but I don't necessarily believe that because they're champions of a certain division, they're that much higher. I mean, Bilal Muhammad just came in.
I think it's different.
Titan FC champion, and he got crushed by Alan Joban.
I think it's different for the lower weight classes because I don't think as many local promotions carry the super lightweights and have like established like championship. Whereas a middleweight or a welterweight, every every division or every promotion is going to have one of those, you know? So it's like those are Jordan, you know, had some belts and stuff like that. And not to take anything away, he fought really good guys for him. But
Sean O'Connell.
Yeah. I think that like this is, I think that if you're a 125 champion in RFA, Titan, stuff like that, I think it is, there's not as many of those guys, but there's also not as many of promotions that have necessarily a belt for that. So they might be a little bit more proven. I think it's going to be interesting to see. Do I think that shakes up the division and now we've got to worry about DJ? No. I don't think that matters at all.
I think it brings in a lot of 125 fighters because anyone that can compete well, I think the top four fighters get brought in, which is awesome. And it might even be more than the top four fighters. Mm-hmm. It might be anyone that competes well enough. And at least we get more fighters at 125, which is a necessity right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it. I'll be watching. I've got Fight Pass. It starts at August 31st is when it actually starts, I believe, which is going to be right after 201 or 202, which is also going to be good.
Who else could you put DJ up against? Ian McCall, maybe, if he would have had like a good showing against Scoggins.
And if Scoggins would have won, you could have thrown him in.
But
Wilson Hayes could have still fought him.
Who else has he not beaten?
He's cleared that division. I feel bad for people in that division because they know they're not going to win a belt. It used to be like John Jones at 205. Like you just knew you weren't going to win that belt.
Or Anderson at 185. So I think I actually really like it. I think it's something new. It's something that's marketable. You can say we got champions coming in. This guy was a champion of this region. And it gives you a little bit more pride in that guy. And it gives people reason to tune in to watch their guy and see if he gets the next shot, somebody that you can go along with. And it is going up a mountain to fight DJ. It sounds like you're going to have to get like a lot of more high caliber people.
They should let both finalists fight him.
It's still not fair to those two. DJ's so good.
They can't even challenge him in Twitch, really.
Mm-mm.
I mean, they're just donezo. All right. So yeah, no, I agree. I like it as well. After this, it's at least they're trying to keep it fresh, and at least they're trying to do new things. That's one thing that I actually appreciate that they're trying new things, and they're trying things to keep it worth watching. The last one, Claudia and Joanna, wasn't worth watching. Like it was good, but there was nothing.
That's actually the first one
it.
That I've watched in a while.
And I watched like the first four, and then realized it's the same as always, and stopped watching it. You had really exciting fights in the first fights into the house, and then after that, it's usually the wrestler grinding their way out to the championship.
There was quite a few high level strikers that were in
Khalil. Yeah, no, there were, and you're right. I'm being bitter, but most of them go to decision after they get into the house. There's a lot of knockouts and submissions, and as soon as they get into the house, it's mostly decisions.
My problem is from the fights from the house, I knew who was going to win.
Yeah.
And
there's always a standout.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's you've got the guy that's going to get upset that was supposed to come on the show and make a run, and then you've got the people that are like they've got the backstories. Like I got to look her name up. This is gonna piss me off, but where she got cancer, and you know they have that person, and then you look at him and you're like, oh yeah, this person is a very very high level, whatever it is, grappler, striker. Wrestler, and that's what she was. And Sanchez was the same. Like he just looked good everywhere, and he just looked like he was gonna win. He looked
small, but I mean that shows how he can actually go in and compete.
He's gonna fight at 185 for sure. But some of the other fights on that card we didn't really talk about. How'd you feel about the Barboza? What do you think that division does? I think that division. I know I always say that it's killers, but I think it's very interesting right now with
RDA. So apparently the rumor is that RDA and Ferguson are going to potentially fight. Alvarez has the belt. Who's the next? I mean, not Pettis.
Nurmagomedov.
But I think he still needs one more fight. I think he can go in against Alvarez.
You could do Edson Barboza.
But did they already fight? Alvarez and Barboza?
I think so, and I think Barboza might have won.
Yeah, no, I'm not absolutely sure, but 155, I just...
That's what I mean when I say it's like, isn't it, it's an exciting division, is name me a fight that you wouldn't be interested in for like the top seven guys.
Yeah.
Nate coming back down, Connor going up, Barboza fighting.
That's actually who it's supposed to be. Ferguson. Nate. If Nate wins, he's supposed to get a shot at 155.
You've got Ferguson. You've got Nurmagomedov. You've got RDA still in the mix. You've got Cerrone if he decides to come back down.
Khabib's a number right here on the rankings is a number one contender. Nate's number four.
Tony's lost to Ferguson, Michael Johnson, Donald Cerrone.
Dustin Poirier's on a run. Yeah, no, I mean, I would take any of the top, even Dustin Poirier, I would throw in there. Maybe not for a championship belt, but
he has not fought. He has not fought.
Oh, we're talking Barbosa now, right?
Yeah.
He hasn't fought Alvarez.
No. No, he hasn't.
And he usually rattles off one win, one loss. I think this is the first time he's...
He did a little bit of that. He did Bobby Greene beat, lost to Michael Johnson, beat Paul Felder, lost to Tony Ferguson, beat Pettis, beat Gilbert Melendez.
Johnson has never got a title fight, and he lost to Diaz. It's definitely... You're right. Ferguson, RDA, I don't want to see a rematch yet. Khabib, Diaz. If Diaz... Or when Diaz beats Connor again, he'll get that title shot. Cerrone, I think, but Cerrone's not at lightweight anymore. He's fighting a welterweight now. But Cerrone already crushed Alvarez once.
Mm-hmm.
So why not give him another title shot against Alvarez?
That's what I'm telling you. Like, tell me a fighter in pretty much the top eight and Cerrone that you would not be, and Connor, or even Jose Aldo going up, like, I mean, that's getting into like weird territory that they're not going to necessarily do. But of any of those fighters, which one are you not interested in?
That's a good point. I'd watch all of those.
That's what I base off of when I say that that's the best division. Name me a fight that you're not interested in. And I mean, I can think.
But that's 170.
Yeah. I agree 100%.
So I would like to see
Gastelum. I want him to kind of get some more fights under his belt. That's pretty much, I still think he's good. He's the most recent tough winner that we've had that's making a run, you know, but I still don't think he's ready yet. But he's pretty much the only one at 170. Other than that, I'd pretty much like to see anybody fight for the title, really.
I'd like to see Ferguson. Rather than Ferguson fight RDA, I would like to see Ferguson fight Alvarez.
I want to make Nurmagomedov Ferguson again. I want that to happen.
I think Ferguson beats Alvarez for the belt, and then you got a title shot between Khabib and Ferguson, which is a much bigger deal.
I just want to see it. I don't care if we have to. I don't want it to be for the title. I just want it to happen. I really like the backstory on it at this point. I really like Ferguson. I know you don't, but
I like to watch his fights.
I like to watch him talk. I like to watch him talk too. Like with him and Nurmagomedov. Nurmagomedov was kind of doing the Conor thing before Conor did in that division, where he was going to press conferences and calling out Pettis telling him that he was going to fight him and making that division exciting on top of how good it is technically. Also, just all the drama going around, he was starting to make that more interesting. Mm-hmm. Brought it out of Ferguson, too. Eddie Alvarez is talking more. It's going to be good.
You know what I'd be interested in?
Tell me.
Like, my dream setup would be Ferguson fighting Alvarez, Ferguson beating Alvarez, Nate beating Connor. Nate coming back down to 155 to fight Ferguson, which would be a huge money fight with both of those dudes running their freaking mouths. And then Khabib fighting the winner of whoever that is, who I believe would be Ferguson as well.
Yeah, all of that.
Joe Silva, make it happen.
Which way that goes either, I don't really like if Alvarez ended up winning. I'd like to see Alvarez, Connor. I just like how everybody shits on Connor at 155, and was it Ferguson that said it? He's like, hey, I understand, Alvarez. If you want the easy fight, go ahead and take Connor. But I'm right here waiting. It's so funny. Like, everybody's just like, nobody takes him seriously.
Not at 155. Not after losing at 170.
But he's a 155er.
And a lot of people in that division have already beaten Nate Diaz. You know what I mean?
Everybody's beaten everybody though.
Yeah, and that's the whole point.
Did you see the statistic that? How many belts that Connor's won? It was like he's won three belts. He hasn't defended any of them.
So he won the interim?
No. Yes. But no, he won the belt.
Are you talking like Cage Warriors?
Yeah. Like all of his belts at 155, 145 there. And this belt, he always gets a belt and he hasn't defended.
And he leaves somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because he went to 140, he got 145 in his Cage Warriors or whatever it was. Then he won the 155 in Cage Warriors, and then he came to the UFC.
Mm-hmm. He's, I guess, I think it's something like he's never defended a belt or something like that. to be fair, I don't think
technically the interim one he did because he beat Jose and they unified it.
But I mean, yeah, but that's not the belt. That's not a defense.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, but that's, if we want to get into technicalities.
Technicalities, he hasn't defended a belt.
All right, what were you saying?
So, to be clear, I don't think that McGregor's... what that insinuates is that McGregor's afraid of defending the belt, which I don't think that. I think that they probably give him too much leash to do whatever he wants, and they should probably like reel him in and make him do some title defenses and stuff, because there's just nothing being built up right now. He's been just sitting at 170 instead of going to 155, which he wanted to be the first champion at two weight class at the same time, blah, 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 blah. Well, then do it. Well, I want to fight 170 because I'm obsessed. Great. Well, we'll all just wait then while you clear out your beef with Nate.
And we legitimately will, because he makes the UFC the most money and they'll do whatever the freak he wants. Great. Other than let him on 200.
Great. Well, we all got what we wanted. Now we get to see Nate versus Connor.
So, moving on from that, let's talk yesterday's card, UFC 201. Robbie Lawler lost his belt to Tyron Woodley.
It's Tyron.
T-Y-R-O-N.
Pretty sure it's Tyron.
I know for a fact that it is not.
I know for about... Now, I would say it's about 35% that it is.
Tyron, number four welterweight, T-Y-R-O-N. I took note of this yesterday during the fight when they kept calling him Tyron.
All right.
Hashtag Ferguson.
Always remember.
So, I knew that this was going to happen about, I would say, 15 minutes before the fight took place. Because I think I picked two fights successfully on the entire card. So as soon as Rose Namajunas lost, and everyone else under that had lost that I had chose, other than Wilson Hayes, I knew that Robbie Lawler was done. Because there's no such thing as, what is it, not fate. Anyway, there's no coincidences. That's what it is. There's
all
no
I'm saying is I love 2016 so far.
Yes. And one of the things we wanted to discuss, and we can get into now, was is it better for the sport for all of these people to be losing their belts, or is it the best for diehard fans because they want to see things change?
I want to see the most matchups possible. I think you probably need like a balance of the two, but it's been crazy. It's been fun.
But right now there's no balance. There are no champions that people are really sold on.
Well, I don't care about that. I don't care like what the public gets sold on. For me, I think it's more interesting to see. It's a great story, Robbie Lawler making this insane run and getting the belt after leaving the division and then coming, or the promotion and then coming back. That was amazing. Tyron Woodley, I never thought would be champion ever in a million years, and he's champion now.
I thought he might eventually.
That's fair.
Because he's got a lot of years ahead of him still.
Mm-hmm. Bisbee. Well, he's the same age as Robbie.
Is he?
They're both 34.
I guess I forget how young Robbie is because he's been around for so long.
And then you've got Bisbee. Never, ever, ever, ever thought he'd be champion.
I didn't think he would either.
I mean, I don't like Bisbee at all, but that's fun, you know? Like,
yeah.
Now you get to see, like, I get to invest in seeing somebody beat him, and I love it, and I hope it's Henderson.
And once again, that points out that it's not about the title anymore. It's about the biggest selling fight. Tyron Woodley, right after the fight, said there would be time for Stephen Thompson. There would be time for Damian Maia or whoever else. But right now, he wants Nick Diaz at 202 because he wants the money. Bisping Henderson, too, makes no sense for an actual title shot, but it makes him a lot of money. Henderson even said, win or lose, after that fight, he's going to retire. So Connor and Nate at freaking 202. Nothing makes sense anymore belt-wise or seniority-wise or win rate-wise. It's all about what makes the most amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy it for sport, but could you imagine if the NBA or the NFL did that? If they were like, cool, next year because the Cavs won and the year before that The Golden State Warriors won, and everybody, we've had more ratings off of those two series from here on out. We're going to, you know, the next year, those guys are automatically playing in the championship.
But it's different, though.
How do you figure?
Because you get a championship every 3 months with some champions, every 4 months, every 5 months. That's with only every year.
That's
you can afford to make different moves. There's different weight classes. Connor wins one. He can go up and he can do another quote-unquote championship a few months later at a different weight class. That it's a completely different sport. To compare them to the two and say it's not fair what the UFC is doing because they're just trying to make money, I think it's a little unfair. And I think that there will be another time where belts are – you're going to get a lot of – Olympic wrestlers, you're going to get a lot of Olympic taekwondo, judo, whatever it may be. There are these people that have been going through their whole life looking for NCAA championships, looking for Eddie Bravo, Brazilian jiu-jitsu championships, and they're going to be driven by the
like DC.
The competition, exactly. Then you're going to get guys like Connor. They understand the game's very short.
Chael Sonnen.
And you only have a very... Well, I think actually, he said a few times, the belt... It kills him that he's always come up short. He's always come up as number two, and he's never had it. And it tears him apart.
But I think that's kind of a wrestling mentality as well.
Uh-huh. But I think I'm just saying with him, I think the belts actually did mean more to him than the money. I think he would trade a large portion of his money to say that he was an NCAA champion or to say that he was a UFC champion. I think he would trade all of the money that he made for those.
It's interesting. As you were talking, I was thinking about people complaining about fighter pay. And it's like, okay, so it's kind of not an oxymoron, but it's very ironic. We complain about fighter pay, and then the fighters are going out to make the biggest payday humanly possible, and then we complain that they're not fighting the next person in line and that they're fighting a money fight rather than who deserves a title shot. And so it's very ironic that fighter pay is in such a discussion right now, yet all of us think that it should still be a seniority or a fight streak championship fight rather than the thing that makes it the fighters the most amount of money.
And that's, yeah, like, and I, so I'm kind of hypocritical in this sense because we were talking about it last night. I don't like rematches, immediate rematches, but at the same time, they're what make you the most money. Mm. They don't do as well as normally the first fight does.
Well, like, especially if the underdog wins.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but... I mean, there'll always be time to go for the belts, but I mean, at the same time, while the belt's locked up with DJ, why not have, Dodson? Why not have Dodson go up and try to fight Dominic Cruz, or why Dominic Cruz has the belt locked up, having TJ Dillashaw go up and fight Chad Mendes, even though I know they're friends, and mm-hmm. still, even though like all the Alpha Male stuff went down, I know that those two are still friends, right? I get mm-hmm. that. There's certain things like. It just makes the sport more dynamic, and it brings more eyes to the sport. These things work themselves out. I'm not worried about the belts diminishing or anything like that. Because how many times has somebody won and we haven't really believed that they were the real champion?
Bisping.
Mm-hmm.
No, and I agree with that to a point. Let's get in a little bit more to the card. What's next for Robbie Lawler, the loser?
The loser,
Robbie Lawler. He's going to come find me and take my soul.
He's going to punch the freckles off you, then take them for himself. Little ginger. Hear that? Trace, if you listen.
he doesn't listen.
That's fine.
So,
what do you think?
Tyron Woodley, you've got Nick Diaz.
Tyrone.
You've got Nick Diaz. You've got Stephen Thompson. You've got a rematch even if you wanted to. Kevin Gastelum, maybe? I mean, he's on his way up.
I don't think you want to do that.
You don't want Kevin Gastelum to lose his soul this early in his career.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
All right, so we got our rankings. I've got my rankings right here. Welterweight. Robbie Lawler, who was a champ, no longer. Stephen Thompson, Rory McDonald, Damian Maya, Tyron Woodley, Carlos Condit. I think you give him the loser of Carlos Condit, Damian Maya at 202. So that helps the next winner. So Tyron fights Stephen Thompson or Nick Diaz at 202, whatever. And then Carlos Condit, Damian Maya fight at 202. The winner of that gets a title shot.
I say have him fight Matt Brown again.
Robbie Lawler? He kind of crushed Matt Brown, though.
I want to see it.
And Matt Brown loses one more, he might get booted. He'll never get booted from the UFC. He's too exciting of a fighter to get booted from the UFC. Neil Magny, I don't really care for that fight. So Roy McDonald is...
You need somebody established that can take a loss still. Yeah. And that's what Matt Brown is, in my opinion. Because you don't want him fighting Magny. You don't want him fighting Gastelum yet.
Yeah, either or. Maybe not Magny.
I think he's still up and coming. I don't know if you want to knock either of them off the horse yet.
Dong Young Kim.
Yeah, it's going to be bad. Remember, I feel so bad because he's a lot better in real life than he is in my head. But all I can think about is Carlos Condit just taking his soul, just his head up against as he's just pummeling.
Well, because he tried to step back and he stepped into the cage and his foot like got in this weird angle and then he just got crushed when he fought Carlos Condit.
Well, no, Carlos kneed him in the head. And he fell all the way back up against the cage.
That's what it was. And he was
stuck.
And
he got him in full mount up against.
Yeah.
And he just beat the shit out of him. And in my head, it was man against boys right there. And he's a lot better in real life than he is in my head.
He had a great run before that.
Mm-hmm. And he still had, like, he's had good wins recently. I'd be fine with those two fighting too.
I think you give him Kevin Gastelum because Carlos Condit, Tyrone Woodley, Damian Maia, Rory McDonald are all tied up. Rory this time in a title dispute in a contract situation. He could fight Matt Brown, Johnny Hendricks again, but no one's going to want to see that. I think Kelvin Gastelum's the next. That's the one that makes the most sense to me because he can beat him and get back on the right track, or if he loses, that means Kelvin really is the real deal. And as much as I don't believe in him, he's proved me wrong almost every single time. I mean, he's fought really well. I would like to see Tyrone Woodley fight Carlos Condit again because the only reason Tyrone won was because he kicked freaking Carlos in the knee, or Carlos blew his knee out. I mean, yeah, he got kicked in the knee. That's kind of what happened. But his knee was blown out, and that's the fight ended. And so I'd like to see them fight again because I think Carlos beats him. I think Maia beats him too. I think that he's going to be a very short-lived champ, just like Eddie Alvarez and Michael Bisping and Stipe. There's a lot of champions that just won the belt that are probably going to lose them just as quickly.
I think Bisping holds on to his for one at least.
Well, maybe. Well, I think, yeah, he should beat Henderson.
I would love for Henderson to go out on top, though.
Why not?
Daniel Cormier
will keep his for a while.
Joanna
will keep hers. Amanda could lose hers.
I'm still saying Joanna could lose. Up against,
she's gonna fight Carolina. That's the one that makes the most sense because she just beat Rose, and Rose is number three. And if Rose won, she would have got a title shot, which transitions right into what I was gonna talk about because I was gonna ask about that next.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And so, Rose was being groomed for a title shot, and I don't think she was ready for one. And so she lost to Carolina Kołowiakowska-Wiskits, however, but
head on.
But you have two Polish fighters. Throw that in put that in Poland, and you're going to make a lot of money, or close to Poland at least.
Tatiana Suarez. I'm sorry, that was going to bug the hell out of me.
That's her name, the one from.
Yeah, yeah, she's from Tough. I like that. Like, why not? Who's the other one that can fight at that one? She's Scottish.
She's the one. Joanna Calderwood.
Yeah,
but I think she's got her next fight set up already.
Does she?
Yeah. Okay. So she, I'm not sure exactly who she's fighting, but it is already set up. Marina Moros is fighting here in Salt Lake next week. So that one, I mean, there's not a whole lot of people.
Is that next week?
Yeah.
Oh, crap. We got to get our tickets.
Yeah, next Saturday. I was hoping to maybe win some. Jessica Andrade. Joanna Calderwood's going to fight Jessica Andrade at UFC 203. So, yeah, no, I mean, it was really interesting. What's next for Ellenberger or Matt Brown? I mean, Ellenberger wasn't ranked. He was going to get cut from the UFC. Apparently, everyone in Ohio knows, or in Nebraska knows him, according to Sean, who lived in Nebraska. What's next for either of those?
I like the loser-loser fights. I still think Robbie Lawler versus Matt Brown. Both of them can afford
a loss
of, like, a streak of losses.
Ellenberger, Gunnar Nelson, Tarek Safferdine, Thiago Alves, any of those.
Donald Cerrone, I think, would be dope. Donald Cerrone versus Ellenberger.
He's going to fight Rick Story, though, I think, at 202. Cerrone is.
Yep, Rick Story.
Yep. So they're fighting at 202.
That's soon. That's soon, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's in a month.
Not even.
And end of August.
Yeah, we're a couple days away from it. So
21 days, because that's what it would be for What's-His-Face to fight Diaz.
So I think Ellenberger, Cerrone is an interesting fight.
What other ones stood out to you on the card last night? The rest of them were kind of boring. I mean, that wasn't my favorite card in the world. It was weird to me that. I mean, Ed Herman did get knocked out pretty bad. Ryan Binet, or whatever his name was kind of a jerk. Eric Perez was actually pretty impressive against Francisco Rivera. I picked that one incorrectly. Perez has moved on quite a bit. Michael Graves with the majority draw, that was super bizarre. And then Damian Brown, the Australian, who I also picked against because I don't think Australian fighters are top level, but he crushed that Hispanic dude. I think he was Peruvian, and he made short work of him. He knocked him down
Ross
twice.
Pearson lost?
Yeah. Well,
I didn't watch the undercard.
He looked kind of big at 170.
Oh, that's what, okay.
He looked bad at 170, but that is his first two-loss streak. Usually he goes 1-1, and he's never lost two in a row. If he's not careful, he's soon to get booted. If he wasn't a personal favorite like Michael Bisping, he might have already got cut from the UFC because he's a middle ground guy. I love him to death. I think he's a fun fighter, but he's never going to fight for a belt.
Look at his last fights, though. Decision loss. Decision loss against Will Brooks. So it went Jorge Masvidal, decision loss. Will Brooks, decision loss. Chad Laprise, split decision win. Francisco Trinaldo, decision loss. Win against Paul Felder, split decision. He's really close to losing a lot of fights in a row right there. That's five in a row that are either split decision or loss.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's never been just dominated. Evan Dunham was the last person to dominate him.
Well, no, I'm saying more like that's even closer to being like, that's two losses away that were split decision that could have maybe went the other way. Mm-hmm. That's two wins getting changed to losses to being a six fight losing streak. Losing. That's the one. You put the gerund at the end of it. Good call. Mm-hmm. I like him though. You know, he's a gateway to Europe. Like, and we have more people from Europe now though in Great Britain, but Ross Pearson was one of the first ones, him, Dan Hardy, Michael Bisping. He's still kind of the link to that era and that continent. I feel like he's somebody that you put on a card when you are going to Great Britain.
And he's a tough alumni. He's got a lot going for him, for the UFC wanting him to stay around. So for the last about 8 minutes that we've got, let's get into the UFC SLC card.
Woo!
I'm actually really disappointed with this card, looking into it, that there's not more people from Utah on it, especially because we've got Josh Berkman, Sean O'Connell, we've got Court McGee. Technically, we've got Steven Seiler, but he lost his last fight in Titan FC. There are at least O'Connell, Berkman, and McGee I kind of expected to be on this. Berkman lost his last fight to Paul Felder. O'Connell lost his last fight to Bose. And apparently neither of them, according to our source, Trace Applegate, who talked to Berkman in the store, in the Nordstrom's, neither of those guys had been cleared by this time, which to me is piss poor planning on the UFC's part to have O'Connell on Montreal when they, you know, were planning on coming to Salt Lake and having Berkman, you know, the card before that or two cards before that. So it's just interesting to me that both of those guys fought so soon when they were coming to Salt Lake and would have sold more tickets here in Salt Lake with those two guys on the card, I think. Especially because O'Connell's on the radio here. And he could have really pitched the Salt Lake card.
Mm-hmm. I like this card. I mean, obviously, if everybody's looking at it, it's not a card that you're going to get wowed at. I'm just happy that they're here.
Yeah.
I thought, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. It was the stupidest thing that the UFC could have done to put it on a Sunday here and then weird it out that it didn't break box office records immediately. If I can't remember exactly what it was off the top of my head, I'm going to have to go back and look.
John Jones, Matoshenko.
Yeah. Shit.
And they moved it to San Diego.
Because that was the card that we had that was going to be super good.
Uh-huh.
I don't think... obviously this is anywhere near that caliber, but we got a lot of good people. I'm actually really excited. I think they kind of set court up a little bit. Dominic Steele looked good in his last fight. Like, that's going to be interesting.
But they're both wrestlers, and I think Court wins the striking duel.
You think?
I think. He lost his last fight due to striking because he didn't look fast enough, and I don't think Dominic Steele is going to be that fast of a striker. They're both wrestlers.
He actually lost his last fight. He lost to Danny Roberts, but he had a performance of the night against Dong Hyun Kim.
It was a good fight, though.
And he lost to Zach Cummings, who's also on the card.
I'm excited about there's certain things that I don't understand. I don't understand why Court's on the FS1 prelims. I don't understand why Cub Swanson is on the Fight Pass prelims. I love that Yair Rodriguez is on this card. I'm not a big fan of the Telus Latest Chris Camozzi fight, and I don't understand why it's so high on the card. I'm a big fan of the Ronnie Jason Dennis Bermudez fight. I like Zach Cummings. I follow him on Snapchat. What's his face? Ishihara or Tatsumi or whatever his first name is. He'll bring all the Alpha Male guys into town. And that, you know, so Mendez, Cody, No Love, and Uriah Faber will all be in town to corner him. So that'll be, you know, it'll be cool to have those type of fighters. Because
last time we went to fights, we took pictures with all of them.
We did.
Well, Uriah.
Yeah. Justin Buckles was here, but he was too busy trying not to lose to a low-level MMA guy.
Okay, if we're being 100% honest, it's one of the shittiest cards I've ever seen, like, on paper. But that's not going to diminish my excitement for it. I've wanted a UFC in Utah for a long time. I think we've got a great, great culture.
The best part about these is that most of these people are strikers. Yair Rodriguez and Caceres are strikers. Dennis Bermudez and Ronnie Jason are strikers. Telus Latis and Chris Homozy are strikers. Zach Cummings is a striker. Court McGee is a striker, even though his wrestling's there. Dominic Steele is a wrestler, but it's going to be, you know, it's going to be... have to strike because they can't wrestle. Cub Swanson and Kawajiri are both strikers. Like, they've done a good job to set up a card where most people are going to stand and bang. That's at least one thing that they've done. Joe Silva has set up a great... They might go to decision, but at least they're going to go to decision most likely swinging rather than go to decision wrestling.
We're going to have fun.
Yeah.
We're going to have fun.
It's going to be a fun card.
Mm-hmm.
So, what... Other than the main event with Yair Rodriguez, what fight are you looking forward to the most?
Bermudez, I think.
I'm a big Bermudez fan.
Mm-hmm.
I like that dude a lot.
That was one of my favorite toughs that I watched, that finale when he got his arm broken against Diego Brandao.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they were both primed to do pretty well. And if Brandao wasn't a lunatic, he probably would have. He looked like a buzzsaw in that tough, man. He looked like he was gonna challenge Jose Aldo in a few months. Like, he looked amazing. But
Ronnie Jason, when he first came out of, I believe he came out of Tough Brazil 1, he looked like he was no slouch. And then he lost to Jeremy Stevens, beat Steven Seiler, but since then he's lost, had a no contest, and then is fighting Dennis Rivina. So he may or may not be fighting for his contract. And if he's fighting for his contract, he's going to come out and really try and put it on Dennis Bermudez, which will make it a super exciting fight. Bermudez is a wrestler. I think after his Diego Sanchez and some of those
fights. He's also a vampire.
Is he?
Have you seen his mouthpiece?
Oh, yeah. Just like the, yeah. I see him trying to use his wrestling, but of course against a BJJ guy, you know, any Brazilian,
mm-hmm.
It's not always going to work out. So,
is that next week? Next week?
Next. That is August 6th.
That is next week.
That's next Saturday.
That's less than a week away.
So we got to get our tickets.
Shoot.
We're waiting on one thing, and if not, I might end up getting mine either day of, because the price will drop if they don't sell enough tickets, or they'll actually be giving them away downtown Salt Lake. Because they always give a ton of tickets away the day of.
I had to talk to Scotty. See if he's going.
I might just hang out downtown and see if I can't get tickets. Anyway. That, anything else you want to talk about before we wrap this thing up?
No, I mean, I didn't know it was that close. I'm excited for that. Exciting. Hopefully we'll give you some good insight with it being hometown.
Apologies for missing a week.
Yes. It won't happen again. I mean, if it does, then we will give you a heads up beforehand
rather than the day of.
So, we appreciate you listening. We've, again, we are hoping to have a good time this week and get some pretty good coverage for UFC Salt Lake.
Yeah, we'll film some stuff and throw it on our YouTube.
Yes, Justin will.
Yes, I will.
I don't film very well. I always forget.
I'm shaky, but other than that.
You're great.
Shaky grapes.
You're great.
Anyway, thanks guys for tuning in. Of course, remember to share the episode, subscribe on iTunes and all the other good things, and follow us on Twitter at OneSpeedMMA. And we will see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.